Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.
I've just put so much in there, you'll never be able to use them all. That was Count Drink-a-Lot, which was a...
What was this man's name again?
Bippy.
Bippy.
This was Count Drink-a-Lot. Oh, here are the four characters I mentioned to you. He was a Count Dracula kind of a creature, but very timid and very frightened and always scared by the kids. He went to nursery school, and he came home. He always was late because he got lost, or they'd find them in the play yard, in the playground. Then he'd come home, he'd be put to bed, where he'd have his bottle and his formula and play with his big teddy bear, Terrible. That was a giant character in a special I did, Jack and the Beanstalk. That was a fellow who ran the soda shop in town. Al Dente, we called him. No one eats spaghetti Italian style, they call it Al Dente. We called him Al Dente. This was Senor Tortilla, Mexican bandido, Pancho Villa type. Very menacing, always come in and frighten the kids, but he really had a heart of gold underneath. This is Professor Mix-a-Lot, Professor Mix-up, who was a very eccentric character. As a matter of fact, I do this commercial that's on the air called Scrubbing Bubbles, and I use Professor Mix-up. Yeah. Oh, marvelous. Oh, great idea. You won't have to do it. That kind of a guy. He used to make inventions. The citizens of Funsville scoffed at him and treated him like a character, but the kids believed in him, and therefore he would invent things for them that worked, and they were all of such advanced technology, whatever they wanted, like the Dillivision machine and all kinds, but they could tune in on the town and see what was going on. He was the town eccentric, but his inventions worked. That's a butler named Mr. Swacked, and he always talked like he was a little swacked.
And he's trying to fly here.
He's trying to fly, yeah.
So he always trying, this is just one scene where he was trying.
He would come in with gadgetry. Professor Mix-up used to use him as an assistant and try out the stuff with him. That was the IRS man who was always coming in to find where Winchell was because he was owed some back taxes. And the kids would always try to protect Winchell and scheme all kinds of ways so that this guy would never meet up with him.
Now, how many characters could you do in one show?
Usually I was able to handle about four.
Really?
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Well, I would do some on pre-tape.
I see.
We would pre-tape them in on telephone calls, and then while the show was in progress, we'd punch in the tape. We called it our B-reel, the bank. So that's why I was able to bring them in, because they were done before the show started. Gave me plenty of time, ample time, to get my makeup off and to get into the Winchell character, the plain me. That's Ah Nuts. He was the farm cook, the chef. He always walked around with a dead chicken plucked and ready to cook in his belt.
You know, if you look at these, if someone were to show this to me and say, do you know who these people are, I would not know.
Well, I had no makeup man on that show. I did all my own. Well, you know about foam and stuff. I used to make my own noses out of latex, and whatever makeup I needed, I would do it myself, and I would put on my own makeup by myself. That's a Bing Crosby. Yeah, it's a Bing Crosby character. You should talk very much like Bing Crosby with a lot of bops and bees and the bees and the boys in the band. Oh, say, knuckleheads coming here, say a few words about the bling bling Bobby Covers. Talk to the boys yesterday in the band. They tried to talk, but can't. And he'd go on till the bill of bees come out with the bebop, crazy bee, the boo boo boo. And they would, they couldn't make contact with him.
He'd always walk in with a record.
And he'd never stop. And knucklehead would be trying to get some kind of word in, and he said, well, yeah, that's very good. And, remember the time they come up and came, be a bunch of boys, and that's what he was into.
Did you ever get a call from him?
No.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that was Dr. Snooty, the plastic surgeon.
I suppose you could throw in a lot of your
But he was a German fella, but he spoke like this, he was a German fella. And every time he was operating with some of the patients, he would always look at the nurse and say to her, what do you say after the operation? You and I go stepping out, cutie. He was always making passes at the nurses and that kind of a character. They were all very outlandish type of people.
You did use some of that doctor lingo then, didn't you?
Oh, yes, yeah.
People probably wondered,
we'd have a joke like, you know what you need, kid? You need some sodium acetyl salicylic acid. And Jerry would say, you mean aspirin? He'd say, I never can think of that word. You know, that kind of.
Yeah.
But the sodium acetyl salicylates was the legitimate words for aspirin.
Yeah. That's funny.
This was after W.C. Fields. Oh, here's the W.C. Fields guy. But we call them cornfields, because he was always out in the cornfields trying to help the scarecrow get rid of the...
Where did you come up with these ideas? Were they at home batting your ideas around with other people? Or home
Several of the characters I brought in from the shows I did in New York. And then we evolved new ones by kicking sessions with the writers, creative sessions with the writers. I'm trying to get closer to this because the next booth is getting pretty loud. That's the IRS guy again. Oh, this was a very, very warm character. He was a mute. Couldn't speak, only used the sign language. But he was Knucklehead's dearest friend, and he always appeared in Thanksgiving. Always came back for Thanksgiving show. And it was almost like playing charades with Knucklehead. He'd want to say something. Yeah, he'd want to say something, and then he would start. Knucklehead would say, yeah, three letters, two syllables, short word, okay. Bloodshot, what's the matter, you got a hangover? You know, that kind of, but he was always a warm, tender, pathetic character. And Emmett Kelly, and he loved Knucklehead. So no matter where he was on the road, he'd hop a freight. Came Thanksgiving, sure enough, he'd be back. This is Uncle Willoughby's. He's a very strange Boris Karloff type of character. Spoke very much like Karloff, but with a sweet type of a Karloff delivery. And he had his own television show called the Uncle Willoughby's Program. And the kids would sit and dial in this television set and listen to him. And he'd always come over afterwards and give them out toys and goodies and that kind of... He was based upon the more kindly aspects of Karloff. He wasn't a creepy guy. They all loved Uncle Willoughby's. He was there to help them and do good.
Who wrote the Winchell Mahoney time song?
A guy named Hi Zarrett and myself. Well, you'll find that on the records where we have to print the composer's names. You want to put these back in that little...
Oh, yeah, these came out of...
Yeah, that comes from the small envelope. So this more or less encapsulates... It more or less encapsulate all the elements of the Winchell Mahoney show. I wanted something funny. In order to make this presentation, I used one of my... I'll see if you can get it out. Yeah, I used one of my acupuncture hypnosis cards. Just to give it a little color up there. Hypnoanalyst, which is a bona fide psychoanalyst graduate, MD, who deals with hypnosis. See, he would guide you through an emotional crisis and know what he's doing. But the average hypnotherapist is cautioned when he learns the art, keep away from regressing somebody picking upon emotional situations, because they're not qualified. That's why they turned you down. They would handle you for pain, smoking, nail biting, that kind of thing. This is when we were doing a television show in New York, and we went aboard one of the Navy carriers. It was big Navy drive. This went to for bonds. A lot of this is not apropos for what you need. That's Margaret Truman. I gave her opportunity for the very here's another one for the very first dramatic role that she ever had on television, and conceivably the only one she ever did. And she was quite good. She was quite good. I'd say about 1952.
My birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But what movie was this?
This was on the TV show that I had called What's My Name. There's a lot of stuff that you won't be able to... I didn't sort through anything, Paul. I just grabbed hands full.
Did you want to...
You don't have to photograph anything you don't need.
Well, you want me to take the whole thing?
Remember Sir Cedric Hardwick?
No.
You must have seen him on some reruns. Well, anyway, that's Sir Cedric Hardwick, very famous motion picture star of the time. This is the first Tessie, which is merely Jerry with a wig.
Yeah,
subsequently, I had a new Tessie made, which is a real Tessie character. Jack Shafton sculpted the clay, and I made the dummy from it. He also sculpted Henry Jones in clay, and I made the fiberglass character.
I'm sorry. I used to watch Mission 22.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sitting there waiting for this thing to be over with, but
yeah.
I'm leaving.
That's all right.
Oh, sure, certainly.
Thank you very much.
You bet. What's your name?
Joe Maria. How's Dum Dum?
Joe?
Yeah.
Everybody's fine.
Everybody's fine.
Yes? They're all following their favorite hobby.
Which is?
Collecting dust.
Collecting dust. That's great. And I'm sorry for interrupting
you. No, not at all.
But I hate seeing you. I mean, you brought me, you know, not, it just took me way back to this apartment house on Maslow, and I'm just thinking about the show.
Well, you used to watch it, huh? when you were a little kid.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Joe?
It was a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you. This was lots of the shows I did for children.
Children's Hospital, I see.
That's, you remember Rocky Marciano, the heavyweight prize fighter? That's Rocky sitting me on his lap and working me. This was when I was appearing with, I forget the band leader's name. Just another show for this was the Army camps. We went around to the Army camps. More kids. Here's a fellow named Barry Gray, who was a New York celebrity. I did his show many times.
Would you like to pull out the ones that I'm interested in?
No, you can hold on to the thing.
Okay, well,
so you give it to me all back at one time.
Yeah, I will give it back to you right away.
Don't even remember her. Something to do with the government. Same woman. This was a dramatic show with, remember Constance Bennett, or does that escape you? Well, that's Constance Bennett. See, I did a semi-dramatic show back in New York. This is just clowning around, like a little chaplain type of thing. Is that Mercedes McCambridge? Yes. Remember her in pictures? This was when Jerry was shipped to Las Vegas. I was appearing at the Sahara, and the Railway Express delivered him to me. This is the original cast of What's My Line?
Oh, yeah.
Dorothy Kilgallen. No, Dorothy Kilgallen. Bennett Cerf is the man.
Yeah.
The other woman is Arlene...
Francis.
Yeah, I think... No, not Arlene Francis.
Dorothy Kilgallen, isn't she on here?
The dark-haired girl.
The other one.
I don't think it's... Well, maybe it is Francis. I don't remember. Arlene somebody.
Did Jerry Mahoney appear with you on that?
Yes, I was a steady panelist for one summer period. Now, this you may not be able to recognize, but there's a gala roster of the biggest stars of the day. I'll just identify them for you. from left to right. Right. I don't know if it'll mean anything to you.
Okay.
Left over here is Bill Hayes. He's now featured in soap operas on the networks. The woman, I don't remember, Frank Fontaine, mm-hmm. who just passed away 3 weeks ago. Robert Alda, who's Alan Alda's father. Tony Bennett, the singer.
Yep.
Janice Page, mm-hmm. the actress. Myself, Lou Ann Sims, who was a singer at that time, and Robert Strauss. In the background here, Ted Williams. Ted Williams, a very famous Dodger baseball player of that era.
And then the rest are baseball.
That's the whole Dodger team. The legitimate Dodger team of that day. This is when I was selected to be Master of Ceremonies for these gala yearly events where we gave out look awards to the outstanding television people. We did it on the air. This Jane Powell, singer. At some benefit somewhere. This is Jerry at a racetrack up in New England somewhere. Just publicity stills for the racetrack. This is again the SS whatever. We did shows for naval people and army personnel, invited aboard aircraft carriers, invited aboard ships, invited into army camps.
Looks like he's almost smiling.
Yeah. Veronica Lake.
Oh, yeah.
Remember her?
You ever get married?
Who?
You.
Oh, yes. Married 3 times.
3 times?
Yeah. First 2 didn't work out. The last one is fine.
Are they in the business themselves?
No. No. That's the same one, a different picture of Jerry being delivered to me in Vegas. Some more with the kids. Oh, the Akron Soapbox Derby, which I was guest celebrity driver, and I won the race against Ronald Reagan and Andy Devine.
Oh, really?
The 3 of us raced. That's Angela Lansbury. You notice how much younger she is. Yeah, somebody just grabbed the shot of the trunk.
That is a nice shot.
Is there any more?
Yes.
You'll have to kind of scoot them out. That's that same semi-dramatic show with Peter Lorre.
Oh, yeah. I see Peter Lorre now.
That was fairly close to his end. Oh, he was quite heavy. I'm going to play with the yo-yo.
I didn't realize you did such serious roles. Like
yes.
That. I
wouldn't
recognize you, you know?
This is a woman who was also famous, Vivica Lynforce, famous movie star of that era. Walter Slezak. Remember him?
This guy.
Yes.
Looks familiar.
Yes. Well, here's Sir Cedric Hardwick. Robert Sarnoff from NBC, Pat Weaver, who was president of NBC. Here's Howdy Doody, Gabby Hayes, Ted Brown. Howdy Doody was having some big anniversary. We better flip through fast. I'm pretty sure that...
You see these little characters here?
My guest will be... Yes?
Oh, I just saw those in the... Toy sale.
Remember Dick Hames?
With the reins.
Dick Hames.
Yeah.
No, not the disc jockey, the actor.
Oh.
Married Rita Hayworth. That was my director directing us. Constance Bennett. Again, Constance Bennett. That was very long ago, right after the Major Bowes.
You were in a
very long ago.
Three Stooges movie, weren't you?
Yes.
I have a
yeah, I did
a
about
picture.
I did about 8
lobby,
features.
Lobby card.
I did about 8 features. I'm now in
was
this new.
Three
I'm in the no. That was just one of them.
Oh.
I'm now doing the new Disney.
I just interviewed picture. Jules White.
Oh, you did? Nothing much to identify there. Mostly publicity shots, a series of shots.
Golf tournament?
Yeah, Joel Gray is in there somewhere, someplace. I got a closer one. You remember Yolez and Valanda, the two dancers? They both have streets named after them in Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
Veloz and Yolanda.
Tootsie Roll was your sponsor, huh?
Yes. This is my first television show, Joe Dunninger, the mentalist. Remember Dunninger, the mind reader? It was my first TV series.
Boy Scouts.
Yeah, Boy Scouts.
Francis.
Ding Dong School.
Yeah.
Miss Francis.
Yeah.
Vivica Lynn Forrest. Dick Hames and Helen Forrest. Remember Helen Forrest, the singer?
No.
She's had a resurgence lately. Jean Lockhart. Motion picture star at the time. Maybe you recognize him here, Jean Lockhart. Walter Slezak over there.
He looks familiar. They almost look like the same guy on this.
Margaret Truman, Vivica Lynn Forrest. Sir Cedric Hardwick. Truman again. I didn't know there were so many repeats. Angela Lansbury. I just grabbed a stack of everything. But you see the makeup I used to use?
Yeah.
Look, over here. You couldn't recognize that guy.
I couldn't recognize you here. That's great.
Yeah. Same thing with this makeup.
No. A lot of these, they wouldn't know you.
Here's a character I played with Lucy, an old German jeweler. Here's another Lucy show where I played a French knife thrower. Here's where I appeared in The Virginian, a Western. Here's the addition of a guy named Ed Gardner. I don't know if you ever remembered him. A very famous radio show of that time. Duffy's Tavern, it was called.
Andy Devine.
Andy Devine. Who's that? Governor Reagan.
Oh, it is, yeah.
But look how long ago.
Wouldn't know.
That's when I won. General Vandenberg giving me the trophy for winning the Akron Derby against Reagan. And Divine. That's from the Three Stooges. That's from Columbia. The baseball special. The Lois and Yolanda, the dance team. Lynn Barry. Remember her from motion pictures? Lynn Barry.
I remember I'm only 25. So
yes, a lot of these, I was doing this 25 years ago. Sammy Kaye.
Mm-hmm.
The orchestra leader. Is that Rocky Marcy? No. King Spalkenberg. There's some costume pictures of stuff we did.
1948.
Yeah, it goes back a while. It's before your time. There's some more costume pictures. On a masquerade party, they made me up to be Pinocchio.
Three Stooges?
Yeah. That's me in my workshop while I make the dummies. Back, that's way back.
That's a nice show.
That's back in New York, which you can tell I'm at least 25 years younger than I am now.
That I would like to use the...
Paul and Grace Hartman.
Paul Harvey. I mean, Paul...
Hartman.
Hartman.
And his wife. There's a guy named Roland.
They had their own show, didn't they?
Yeah. There's a guy named Roland Lastarza, middleweight boxing champ. Giovanni.
Giovanni.
Dr. Giovanni. being presented with the trophy from the Akron Soap Derby, getting back on the train after the race was over. Oh, I'm a pilot, so they let me come into the cockpit on a commercial airliner.
They made Jerry Mahoney shirts?
Yes.
They print those up?
Yes.
Did you save all that stuff? Are you
no.
a collector of all those things?
No, I saved some of the stuff, but I'm not...
Has your friend turned up yet?
No. That is, oh, here's a fairly current biography. You can get a lot of stuff out of that. That's Nanny and the Professor, played the menial puppeteer.
Huh. Have to watch out for that one.
That's earlier days. Earlier days. Earlier days. You'll find a lot of duplicates. This was not as long ago as it looks. If I make my hair black, make my mustache black, wear a turtleneck sweater, I'm back there. This was about 2 years ago. Looks like 15 years ago. Shows you what a little dye can do. The current figures I've got now. Here is the congressional record, which talks about the heart. There's my diploma for acupuncture college. There's the captain that was kept alive with an artificial heart. The last one was kept alive for almost 8 months.
Now that we're on that, let's talk about that little place before your friend comes.
All right. Well, then he'll find some material on it on page 7. This is during a transplant. This is me. This is part of the... Let me be part of the surgery. I'm handing her the heart they took her out. See, what I've got in my hand was the heart they took out. And then I hand them the artificial heart that they placed in there. So this is me. I did swing the slip. And maybe you'll find on 37 something that will give you the heart background somewhere. Or just identify so they don't have to be... No, I made an artificial heart, which I patented, and turned it over to the University of Utah. That's what... Just with animals. Christian Barnard and I were on the Griffin Show together, and he wants me to send him a half a dozen hearts, because over here we'll continue to work with animals for God knows how long. But in Cape Town, Africa, he's got the opportunity to work with people who are fast. So we may be hearing something from Africa that some human being was given an artificial heart, which it will be mine. You know, I've been working on a feeding device for little children with a very strange disease called glycogen storage disease. The liver does manufacturing sugar or storage. So when they need sugar, they haven't got it. Consequently, they have to be infused with sugar water all day. They have the appropriate technology for nighttime feeding, but they have no daytime infusion device that's automatic, so the kid can get a little bit emancipated from the mother. I'm working on such a device. Well, when I got the patent, I started an odyssey. Many years to find somebody interested in using it, and could find nobody. Took me 8 years before I heard that a man named Dr. Kolb, whose name you will see quite often as the inventor of the artificial kidney, was working along the same lines, called me in to join. You'll find this story in the congressional record. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of the stuff I wanted to tell you, it's in there. Now, there on the front is my address.
Omar.
Yes, if any way you want to. See, I got my doctorate.
Paul Mayer's Children's Television Archive.